Mark Collier here with For Thomas Matters Radio. This is our first podcast for the 2015 year. We experimented a little bit with this during the election coverage in 2014. Went really, really well. Had a ton of downloads on our Podbean site, and you can go directly there at podbean.com, search Fort Thomas Matters, or directly on iTunes, and you can do the same thing. Just type in Fort Thomas Matters, whether you're searching music or podcasts, and our podcast will pop up there, and you can read what's or listen to what's going on, rather, what around town. The 2015 podcast for Fort Thomas Matters Radio is we're going to partner with Omega Processing Solutions again. They've been a wonderful, wonderful partner for us to kind of, you know, get our foot in the door this way and try a new medium. Nobody else is doing this on a local level like we are, and we're able to do that because Omega Processing Solutions. Did you know that they are one of the nation's top rated merchant processing companies, and it calls Fort Thomas home? We are so proud to partner with them for what is the first of what will be many podcasts throughout the year. Omega actually has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and has been selected to be a member of the BBB's Leadership Circle of Companies. And in addition to that, A rating by Credit Card Option or CardPaymentOption.com, which is an independent organization dedicated to ethics in the merchant service industry. If you are a local business, you should let Omega help you with your credit and debit card solutions, mobile payments, gift cards, reward programs, business funding. They are 100% table and fully integrated point of sale systems or e-commerce, and they'll tailor it just for your business. One thing I'm hoping that we will do, and one of the things that we've kind of established at Fort Thomas Matters is our Fort Thomas Matters family, which is a group of engaged business owners. We're hoping that within those business owners, they will begin to use each other. So our Fort Thomas Matters family has already started using Omega Processing Solutions. We're hoping that it'll continue and it'll snowball. And if you need to check them out, you can go to omegap.com, or you can give them a call at 859-442-8100. They are also at the top of our page at fortthomasmatters.com. You can find them any of those ways. We're going to have Michael Monks, who is the owner and publisher of the River City News, in the second segment. Michael is kind of doing the same thing what we're doing with Fort Thomas Matters. He's doing it on a full scale and has kind of taken the region by storm. Michael started the same way that we did at Fort Thomas Matters on a blogger platform. He has since, you know, upgraded. He's gotten financial backers, and he's got 3 full-time staff members, a lot of people that are helping contribute to the River City News, which started in Covington and has sprawled its way out to all of the river cities. And it even culminated with a print publication that went out to over 100,000 homes in Kent and Campbell and Boone County. So we're excited to have Michael on and talk about the evolution of new media, where it is right now, what that means for Northern Kentucky, and what we can expect maybe between River City News and Fort Thomas Matters going forward. What I want to talk about right now, though, is the kind of the transition that Fort Thomas has undergone since the last election cycle. We talked about it a lot more so at the county level and how there's kind of been a GOP sweep. I think there might be one or a handful of Democrats that are in elected positions in Campbell County. Ken Recton, who ran for judge exec against Steve Pendry, actually penned an op-ed on River City News, which he termed it the death of the Democratic Party in Campbell County. But we're going to kind of stay more so nonpartisan with this podcast. And we're going to talk about what's happened in Fort Thomas. We have three new councilmen. We have a new mayor. And I'm going to give you my thoughts on those and what that means going forward. We lost Tom Lampe, who took higher office at the county commissioner level. Jay Fawcett did not seek re-election, and he is back in private practice with his firm in Covington, actually, Strategic Advisors. And then Eric Haas, who was a longtime mayor pro tem, ran unopposed for Mary Brown's position as the mayor. And so we've got three new councilmen coming in, John Muller, Jeff Beasold, and Adam Meyer. As far as, you know, what we kind of left, what Fort Thomas was left with the three vacancies, they are going to lose a little bit of leadership. Anytime you have three long-term business or councilmen, Tom Lampe had been with on Fort Thomas City Council for a long time. Jay Fawcett had been a long-time city solicitor in Covington and was a welcomed addition at Fort Thomas. I think he did a great job in his only two-year term. And Eric Haas, obviously, is going to have some leadership, but just at a different extent. Things are going to not really process or progress the way that they might have with the three vacancies. Now, I'll say this. In Fort Thomas, there's not a lot of things that change anyway. We kind of saw that with some uprising among some of the different, residents that had taken issue with the breed-specific legislation, number one. You go on a year-to-year basis, the roads that are repaired, it seems like there's always a handful of those residents that get sick and tired of, you know, why am I having to pay for the city to do these repairs to my street? And by and large, nothing really gets done. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So, you know, you lose that leadership there, but on a net-net basis, is it really something that's going to hurt the city? I don't think so. I think Roger Peterman probably, if I had to guess, he would have preferred to not run again as well. He's been on a long time, and I think they've accomplished a lot, and I think Roger was maybe coerced, asked, whatever you want to call it, by some higher-ups within the city that are still there, just to kind of, I guess, help shepherd the new guys coming in. You're left with Lisa Kelly and Ken Bowman remaining on council, who I think bring a perspective that is needed in the city. What you don't want at any level, you do not want five or six like-minded individuals on any governing council, whether it's Republican or Democrat or partisan. The city council happens to be nonpartisan, but what you don't want is, like I said, six people that are going to agree with what the mayor says and what the city administrator says all the time, every time. And Ken and Lisa have shown that inkling that they will not do that. That is a good thing, folks. That's a real good thing to have them on. And I think, you know, as much information as was out there on these candidates, probably more so than any election that we've had in a long, long time, because of these podcasts that we did and because of the coverage that Fort Thomas Matters and Fort Thomas Living provided, I think people understood that. And when you looked at the vote counts, Ken Bowman got the second most votes. Lisa Kelly got the fourth most votes. And you know, whether or not you agree with all of their initiatives or the things that they take up, the majority of the voting public did. So Lisa and Ken, being on council, along with Roger, will provide the leadership. Now let me talk about the three new councilmen. Jeff Bezold was the one that got the most votes, and at his first council meeting, the mayor asked the three new councilmen to kind of talk about themselves a little bit, maybe their jobs or their family lives. And the first thing that Jeff Bezold says was, "Hi, my name is Jeff Bezold. Everybody in this room," and there actually was a packed room at the time, which is an oddity at Fort Thomas City Council. But he said, "Hi, I'm Jeff Bezold. Everybody in this room probably knows a Bezold." And everybody kind of chuckled because everybody kind of does. So I think maybe that's probably why Jeff got the most votes. I think he is probably open to listening and communicating. I know that his style will be one where he believes whatever he believes, whether it's for or against an issue, Jeff will stand up and say, "Yes, this is how I believe." He'll be hopefully definitive, more so than the last council was on some issues. But I believe that's the way that Jeff will kind of where his leadership style will go. I think he'll be a good addition. I know he's busy at work. He's not able to attend the Kentucky League of Cities kind of intro course that they do for councilmen. New councilmen, you know, always try to do it. I think four of our councilmen are going to be attending the Kentucky League of Cities, which would be the two new ones other than Jeff. So John Mueller and Adam Meyer, and then Lisa Kelly and Ken Bowman are going to attend those as well. And basically what they do is they just kind of teach you, you know, the ins and outs, the Roberts rules of order, what you can and cannot do. They'll answer some questions. So I do think it's a good thing. My hope is that Jeff invests himself in the process. He's not going to know everything up front, as are Adam Meyer or John Mueller, but that's my hope. Now, John Mueller has a good background, good business background. He's one of the higher ups at CareSpring, who owns the Barrington and all of those facilities. He's working professionally right now to move some of those beds from Campbell County to Boone County, which was an issue in the primary election between Judge Exec Steve Pendry and Kevin Sell. Kevin Sell did not think that was a good thing for Campbell County. John Mueller and a lot of the coalition now, probably the majority of the coalition in Northern Kentucky, believes that it is a good thing to move those nursing home beds to Boone County from Campbell County. I don't have an opinion on that right now just because I don't know that much about it, but we are going to, you know, have John on and discuss that and kind of figure out, you know, is that a good thing for the city and whether or not, like I said, I don't know. So we're going to have John on and discuss that at a later date. John is one too that I feel personally from my conversations with him is that he is a very thoughtful person. He's not reactionary. I feel like we've got a couple of those on council right now. John is not that way. He can be approached. He's a very nice person. And, you know, whatever issue it is, he's going to do the homework on his own. And I really think that's a good quality to have on city council. Adam Meyer is, I believe, the same way. Adam is an attorney by trade. He works for a government agency, which is why he was able to run for city council, because it's a nonpartisan position. Adam was one on city council that when he was running, I felt personally that he had the most specific plan in place, as in terms of kind of, you know, what he was going to do once he got elected. Now, are those initiatives, and one of those initiatives we talked about on our podcast before was called Pretty the City, which was kind of a two-pronged approach of getting rid of some blight throughout the city. Everybody kind of knows Fort Thomas to be the city of beautiful homes, but, you know, even on the north end of town, you can drive by $1 million home or a $400,000 home, and right down the street, you've got some vacancies. He had some plans in place to kind of correct those types of things. He also had an idea to convert the duplex style homes, the two family or three family or four family homes, into single family homes, which would in turn down the road raise the tax base, you know, get not necessarily, single family homeowners, but, you know, just to get it in there more than anything, just to raise the tax base. Now, it's going to remain to be seen whether or not those types of things can happen. Like I said, it's a difficult thing in Fort Thomas to kind of get anything changed. So I think, you know, while those plans are pretty, it's a tough thing to do. So those are the three new people that are coming on. Net, I would say it's probably not much of a change, just because Fort Thomas is an established city. We're doing well financially, and that's probably a topic for another podcast, is how well we're doing and whether or not the city needs to be run like a business or like a government. But like I said, we'll get into that down the road. Net, it's going to be, remains to be seen. I think at the end of the day, though, new blood is good. We're going to get some new ideas, and hopefully the leadership styles will allow it to have a little bit more of a full house effect at council meetings. Guys, I don't want to be the only ones there. And what we want at Fort Thomas Matters is to kind of, you know, help drum up the residents and the citizens to come out and tell these leaders what you want. You know, a lot of them talked about when some issues came up, well, you know, I wanted to vote this way, but everybody that I talked to, or whether that be their circle of friends, I just couldn't make this happen. And to that, I say that is not how our form of government, which is a representative republic, that's not how that's supposed to run. What they're describing in that sense is a true 100% democracy. And yes, we live in a democracy, but the form of democracy that we live under is a representative republic, which means that these new leaders and the old council as well, it is incumbent upon them to research these topics on their own and do what they feel is right. Not what their friends say, not what their social members or their social gathering, what they say. It's what they think, and they can form after, you know, doing their own research. So we can talk about that, and we're going to down the road a lot more. There's a lot of things that we've got to get to, but right now what we're going to do is we're going to get to Michael Monks, who again is the publisher at River City News, and that will come after this break, brought to you by Omega Processing Solutions. And we're back. Fort Thomas Matters Radio. Mark Collier here. I'm with Michael Monks, who is the editor and publisher for the River City News. But first, a quick word for Omega Processing Solutions. If you're not sure if you want to change from your current processor, there's no pressure at Omega Processing Solutions. They have no contracts, no early termination fees. There's nothing to lose, and there's lots to gain. They're here in Fort Thomas. They are the ones that are helping produce these podcasts. So please give them a call at 859-442-8100 or visit them at omegap.com for more information. Michael Monks, how are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be here at Fort Thomas Matters Radio. It's pretty cool.
The Palatial Studios on the north side of the Licking River. I've been to the River City News quarters quite a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe you're getting a little upgrade. We can talk about that
sure.
in a minute. But tell me a little bit about the River City News. I think most people know, you know, who you are, what you cover, but tell me about your humble beginnings.
It was just a humble, miserable little blog that I started in between jobs in the summer of 2011. Threw it up on the blog spot and just started going to city commission meetings in Covington and recapping them. And lo and behold, people started reading them.
Lots of people.
It got to be lots of people. So from there, I turned it into a proper newspaper-looking website, solicited advertisements, and have since added full-time staff members and expanded our reach into the entire urban core of Northern Kentucky. So we're regularly in Covington, Newport, Bellevue, Dayton, Ludlow, Taylor Mill. We sneak into Fort Thomas on occasion when you guys have us, and we hope to become the region's newspaper.
Your tagline now is the region's newspaper, and River City News is a little bit different than Fort Thomas Matters. Michael has been at it, and anybody that is in our little circle of industry, which is a very small circle nowadays, they see Michael. Michael is everywhere. He covers things on his own. He is probably the biggest hustler that I know in the industry. It's something that we hope to get Fort Thomas Matters involved with one day, and maybe we can talk about that down the road. But River City News is everywhere. I guess there's been some pinnacle stories on Fort Thomas Matters that I can kind of point to and think, okay, we took a real big jump right there. As far as credibility, I think people kind of seek at least Fort Thomas Matters for Fort Thomas News. Tell me about a couple stories early on in your infancy that kind of helped you make that jump from that lowly blog to the news website that you are today.
Well, I can point to the resignation of Covington Mayor Denny Bowman. I was hearing rumors that he was going to go down and step out of office, and I got to break that story. And so that was my first big scoop. And when you get a scoop, you get a lot more readers because you're first to the net, and people start to share your article.
Sure.
And then they start to look to you for the latest developments on that. So that was my first big coup. And from that, by simply being present at a lot of places and going to meetings that traditional media typically won't go to, I get to break stories as big as Walgreens coming in and tearing down a historic mansion to Chipotle planning to build a facility in Covington, both of which do very well for traffic. It's just about being at the right place and knowing the right people and working your sources all the time and building your audience. And what's really cool about what we do is how participatory it is. You know, you're throwing up the stories and your audience interacts with you right away. They can sometimes refute what you're saying right away. You can apologize right away for being wrong, or you're engaging the community in a way they've never been engaged before. And I think that's why we've surpassed the traditional media as the go-to source for news about the communities that we cover, because we've created that relationship with people that they've never experienced with the news before.
Sure. And I think that's probably one of the main biggest differences between kind of old media and new media. I mean, you're present, you're right there in Covington. I'm in Fort Thomas. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about these stories, we have a vested interest.
I say it all the time. I tell people that I treat this business the way I would treat a neighbor. I'm your neighborhood newspaper. And if you are succeeding, if you are doing something good, I want to celebrate with you. I want to tell your story and clap with you. Look, it's probably a scoop coming in right now on the phone. And if you're messing up, then, you know, we're going to have a tough conversation. I'm going to have to ask you some pointed questions.
Sure.
I'm not here to beat you down. I'm not here to spread gossip. I want the community to succeed, because if the community succeeds, then my business is going to be better. I'm going to have more stuff to write about, more stuff to talk about, more places to visit. I get accused on occasion of being a cheerleader. Well, you're right. I am a cheerleader.
I am too.
I cheer for the city to succeed, and more people should be that way.
Sure.
We'd probably be better off.
Well, I 100% agree with you. I guess, what are your takes on why do you think new media, the way that you have kind of, and not everybody does it the same way, but why at River City News, why so passionate and I guess tell me what's next? What's the next step?
Well, I think the irony of what we do is you get to grow in credibility and usefulness in the community when you follow traditional ethics. So I do come from a background in traditional news. I spent a year at 700 WLW and then several years as a producer at Channel 19 and studied this and am currently in a graduate program. So, I mean, I've studied this, I've worked in it. And the fact is that even if you're branching out on your own in new media, if you follow the long-standing traditional ethics of reporting, maybe being a little loose in the social media age sure. in order to engage a conversation, but basically following traditional ethics, then people will treat you like a credible news source, and that's what we want. So from there, we now feel that responsibility. So it's more than just creating content and creating conversation and driving an agenda in a town. I mean, it's being responsible and people depending on you for your information. I get up on a day like the day in which we're recording here and make sure that I have the school closings up because I hope that they're not depending on me for that because I'm not great at it. But I put it up just in case. And the fact is, you know, if I post that to Facebook, people are going to share that, which indicates to me that at least four or five people needed that information from me this morning to know that various school districts were on delays or closed.
Well, it's more than four than five. I mean, it's not just four or five, though. I mean, there are a lot of people that read your publication. You are the newspaper in Northern Kentucky now. So I guess one of the things, and right now whenever I meet with you, whenever I go south of the Licking River, we go to Roebling Point Coffee, mm-hmm. who's been your hub, your yeah. spot. Talk about where you guys are kind of moving on up and the reason for that.
Well, this will be our third move, technically, I guess. This, of course, started with a laptop on my kitchen table. And then it got to be where I needed a professional office, so I rented a space at a coffee shop. I did always assure people that I wasn't just loitering in the coffee shop. I did rent an office there. And then, you know, now that I've got four full-time people in the business, so the office is really just an old storage room. And it's too small, so we wanted to find a new space. And Covington, some buildings in downtown Covington are undergoing a resurgence, and we wanted to be part of that. And a building known as the Mutual Building at the prominent intersection of Pike and Madison right there in the heart of downtown Covington is being redeveloped, and we've rented a space there. So we're going to be right in what has historically been the most important intersection in Covington and possibly northern Kentucky. We're going to be right there. And people are going to see our sign. We're hoping to get a news ticker put up on the side of the building. Our presence is going to be known. And I think that's going to say to people in a way we haven't said before that we're in it with you guys. You can see us here. We are invested here. And we are literally and physically part of the community.
It's not just a blog anymore.
No, it's not. And I don't disparage bloggers the way some do. I certainly started out as a blog, but I think blogs are defined in a certain way and newspapers are defined in another way. And I certainly think we've made the full transition from blogging to being a proper newspaper. We do some aggregation. We do some blogging certainly on the site, but primarily our focus is good journalism. It's good reporting that you would see at a newspaper.
And talking about the newspaper, in the previous segment, I talked about your election coverage. It was a print publication and went out to hundreds, thousands.
We went out to 43,000 houses.
43,000.
Including Fort Thomas.
In Fort Thomas, it was the one fold in the middle, all the Campbell County elections, Kenton, Boone as well. Talk about your big dream. What's next?
Well, I'd love to do more of that. I know that the narrative is that print is dead. I don't think that's necessarily so. I think there is a format that can be developed. We're trying to develop a format. I love the direct mail system, the way of getting it into the hands of every resident. I think that's important. We will find you, and we will make sure that you have the news in your possession. You don't have to always look for us. So that's sort of my goal. Now, I don't think there's any business anymore in daily printing. You know, that's a high cost. And I think we'll see soon that more of the larger outlets like the Inquirer in Cincinnati will ultimately cut down the days in which they're printing. But if we find a way to be successful as a monthly, or my ultimate goal to be a weekly direct mail publication, then I think we'll prove that print is not dead, at least not yet. And we'll make it a viable entity that's valuable for us as businessmen, but also for the community.
Now, I'm going to editorialize a bit here. There are some other, and Michael talked about other websites that he doesn't disparage, but I will. they're just not good. You know, they might pull something out of their a rabbit out of their hat every now and then. But the thing that kind of defines us, I think, is that we're here. Mm-hmm. And that we hustle, and nobody embodies that more than Michael Monks. You can check him out at the River City News on Facebook and Twitter, and directly on his website as well. Now, we talked about the resignation of the mayor, the Walgreens coming in, the Chipotle stories. Those were things that you broke, that you saw a spike in your ratings. What was a story that? And I've got one in mind, so I'm hoping that you oh, talk goodness. About this one. Okay. But if you don't, I'll bring it up anyway. What's a story that you got that was solely River City News, that you got by working your sources, that was just a fun thing to tell?
Jeez, I might need you to give me an assist here just so that we're...
Well, okay, I won't put you on the spot too bad. One of the things that I loved reading was, and everybody... I can only imagine how many clicks this story got. The Gentlemen's Club in Covington.
Absolutely.
Talk about that for some of our listeners.
It was really great. And, you know, it's really something that could have been picked up on a scanner if you were listening closely enough, that you know, any outlet that listens to the scanner, and we don't do that as much as we should, but we do, could have come over the night that this club was raided, but no one did. So there was a strip club on Scott Boulevard in Covington known as Liberty Show Lounge. And because of this raid, the police had accused them of performing acts of prostitution and other violations of the nuisance code. They were at risk of losing their liquor license. And I go to all the boards. I go to the Board of Adjustments. I go to their Design Review Board. And this is why, because you get scooped.
Sure.
And I've learned to go to the Alcoholic Beverage Control Review Board also. Somebody's liquor license is always up for review, and it's always highly trafficked content. But this was like, this was a perfect meal, just come out of the oven, just piping hot and glazing. And I couldn't get...
You were licking your chops.
I couldn't get to the computer fast enough to write this story, because the testimony from the police who went into this place and went into graphic detail about the menu... The drinks could be purchased for $28, $38, or $58, and those drinks allegedly would garner you more than hydration.
So it just wasn't top shelf liquor.
No,
right?
In fact, there was a question as to whether there was liquor in these drinks at all. Basically, the price would score you a different position in the bar.
I got
score you a little more privacy, and from there, the ladies would do what they did. But I got to write about it, and yes, that story. What I was disappointed about was that, yes, it was a hit on the website, certainly, but no one wanted to comment about it. So we didn't get the engagement that I wanted, and I was really surprised by that, because the reach was great, the clicks were awesome, and there were a few comments, but there weren't as many as I thought.
What does that tell you,
though? I think it says that people want to look, but they don't want anyone to know that they looked at it. So I got a lot of feedback personally from that article, and I wrote it, and I kept all the language in. It was very dirty, a lot of swear words, a lot of references to sexual acts and sexual parts, and just beautiful Covington goodness that wouldn't have been presented this way anywhere else. And I ultimately followed that story all the way to Frankfort, because they appealed to the state board, where they won. The bar won. They got their... They came out on top. They beat the city at the state level. But I went to Frankfort and wrote about this story again. And it was less salacious the second time around. They toned it down a bit. But it was just a really, really terrific story, and really dirty and grimy. We love telling grimy stories.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes. I mean, you know, in this industry, you know, you talk about taxes and you talk about Board of Education, and all very important. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But when you get to tell a story like that, especially like that. Oh, yeah. It's fun.
People love dirty news. They love sad news. They love bad news. They love criminal news. And every time you're in the publishing world, why aren't you telling more good news? Well, you do.
Nobody reads it.
Sex sells, crime sells. If it bleeds, it leads. And we certainly don't subscribe to that philosophy. We don't look for something to bleed at the top. But if something's bleeding, it's going to the top.
Yep.
You know, we're not out there doing the shooting. We're not out there hanging out at these bars. But someone is. And when those stories happen, we're going to be there to tell them.
Well, Michael Monks, thanks for being here in the Palatial Studios in Fort Thomas, Kentucky. Be on the lookout. Michael's got some things kicking, some things cooking in the pot that we can't really talk about right now. But we are going to make a big splash, more so than we already have, I think. So if you kind of like what we do at Fort Thomas Matters, make sure that you put River City News on your radar. You'll be seeing us working together a lot more into the future. So, Michael, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
And once again, for Omega Processing Solutions, you can find them at on Alexandria Pike. Give them a call at 859-8100 or www.omegap.com for more information. Omega Processing Solutions does all your credit, debit card processing, mobile payments, gift cards, reward programs, or your business funding needs. Once again, this is Mark Collier for Fort Thomas Matters Radio. You can find us on our podcast stream on podbean.com/Fort Thomas Matters or go to iTunes and type in Fort Thomas Matters. We're going to do these shows with the courtesy of Omega Processing Solutions once every 3 weeks or so, talking about the latest about what's going on in Fort Thomas. We'll talk to different newsmakers and kind of get their thoughts about what's going on as well. And I'll give you my personal opinions on what's happening in and around the city. Again, Mark Collier, Fort Thomas Matters Radio, signing off.